Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guests for today are Carolyn Rods and Elizabeth Gore, co-founders of Hello Alice, a tech platform designed to help small business owners navigate their path of entrepreneurship. Now serving 1.4 million small businesses across 50 states, Hello Alice has reached a new milestone, one they'd likely rather live without. The company, which has helped facilitate equitable grant funding to thousands of founders of color and women, is being sued for racial discrimination. Elizabeth and Carolyn joined the show today to share why they believe the lawsuit is frivolous and how they've taken back the reins of the messaging of this lawsuit to shine a spotlight on female founders and founders of color. Carolyn, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be with you. Howdy to everybody.
Thank you, Natalie, for having us.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you both today. Obviously, I've been following Hello Alice over the years, and y'all have had no shortage of inclusive opportunities and news for entrepreneurs. So I'm excited to dive in and introduce the few people who haven't yet heard of Hello Alice that are listening in. So for those unfamiliar, can you share a little bit about your mission with Hello Alice and how you use your tech platform to support small businesses and startups?
Sure. Hello Alice is a digital platform for small business owners and entrepreneurs, making sure that we're connecting the right resource to the right entrepreneur at the right time, with a focus on inclusive and equitable access to capital. So we have an early stage capital continuum that includes grants and credit cards, loans, and ensuring that ultimately we're helping businesses measure and improve the health of their business, building the healthiest businesses that they can, the most sustainable businesses that they can, with the idea that healthier businesses open more doors to capital connections and opportunities. And today we serve nearly 1.4 million small business owners, around 30,000 of which are in Houston, and have a really incredible, diverse group. Over 90% of those business owners represent as BIPOC or women. And so it's an incredibly diverse community across all 50 states.
That's a huge impact. How do you do it? How do you make sure you're reaching that large 1.4 million small business owners? You know, what's the big challenge in meeting them where they are?
Well, the beauty about having a co-founder like Carolyn Rods and then our chief technology officer, who's also a Houstonian, Kelsey Ruger, they have built a data-driven technology that is absolutely scalable. So we have a high-touch community that we adore, actually. Hello Alice owners are a cult following of each other, which is exciting. But what Kelsey and Carolyn have built is a small business owner gets different resources information based on their stage of growth, physical location, and industry. So we're able to push them towards their financial health, getting them the right resources at the right time. That doesn't happen overnight. We've been on this journey for a decade. And I would say when we really hit critical mass was 3 years ago. And now we're super proud that we have on average about 35,000 net new small business owners a month coming in. And, you know, I really think it's because they're getting actionable opportunities every single week when they open a newsletter, when they get a resource, when they do their business health score. So data is the key here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something else, which it's such a great story. I hesitate to make y'all go into the whole story too much because we've got other things to talk about, but it's Hello Alice is such an incredible business development story. And part of that, and that I've noticed over the years, this kind of evolution into this like fintech tool, really, like you're connecting, you know, entrepreneurs to capital. So tell me a little bit about the opportunities you've been able to introduce over recent years to really provide that access to capital.
We've always listen to the data and listen to the business owners. Elizabeth and I, since we started Hello Alice, spend so much time and our whole team with these owners at events in different cities. Every time we go anywhere across the country, we pull groups together. And so much comes from their own mouths, but also all of that gets amplified and augmented by the data that we're looking at. And what we heard overwhelmingly from both sources was access to capital is such a significant barrier. And as we've worked with all of these, you know, banks and institutional partners and, you know, governments and everybody trying to solve this problem, the stats are moving ever so slowly along, sometimes not even in the right direction. And so we started looking at how do we collaborate and problem solve? And this is really where Elizabeth's superpowers come to play, of just making sure the right people are at the table to solve these problems. We work with, you know, bull bracket banks. We've worked with, you know, policymakers and entrepreneur organizations like the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and NAACP, saying, how do we actually build products that work and can solve some of these gaps? And that really led us into the fintech space. You know, looking at, we've deployed grants starting with COVID. We pushed out some emergency grants really early on, but have really evolved that to say, how can we utilize grants to actually de-risk businesses that might be on the fringe with their credit score that might not even qualify for their first credit card? But if we can put these grants to work behind them, we can help the banks meet the credit box that they're constrained to, bridge that gap a bit, and start to open up their first credit card. That first credit card then gives them some working capital to start to look at how can they actually start to qualify for loans. Maybe not a mainstream bank loan to start, but can we pull in CDFIs? Can we start to look at some specialty funds? Again, starting to look at some of those funders that are willing to take a little bit higher risk. And then again, start to open those doors to move them towards, all with the goal of getting them into mainstream capital, because that's where the like overwhelming majority of capital sits, but there's a lot of gaps along the way that we've worked to fill. And so that's where we partner with financial institutions and saying, well, what doors do we need to open and when, and what are we learning? And then at the same time, how do we intake all the data that we have to learn? How can we de-risk earlier in the process? How can we start to look at alternative underwriting processes? How can we think a little bit differently about how we're approaching this problem? Getting everyone to work halfway. How do we help build healthier businesses so that they can meet those banks in the middle with a stronger financial statement, stronger financial performance to bridge some of those gaps? So it's a both and solution. I think oftentimes we see people looking at the business owner side, or we see them looking at the bank side. And the reality is everybody needs to come to the middle if we're really going to solve this problem at scale.
Yeah. What has been the overall reception from the people you're working with? And I know that there's an outlier and we're going to talk about that, but in general, what's been the reception you've gotten from, you know, the entrepreneurs you're helping?
You know, as we started, 1.4 million small business owners in 50 states, which I think Carolyn and I, just blows our mind. And the stickiness of Hello Alice is this cross-section of opportunity and community. So we have little to no churn on the platform. And my favorite thing, I think, is Carolyn's too, is you're in a different state than you live, and you walk up and you buy something in a bakery and they're like, see our Hello Alice credit card. And they're like, oh, we love Hello Alice. And you tell them you're the founder and it's, oh, I got a grant, or I got this opportunity. And I don't know. There's just the spirit of the small business community. And by the way, the small business community is the most trusted group in America right now, with 3 or 4 different polls, which is exciting. But I will just say their referral to each other, the support is amazing. On the other side, Carolyn and I have chipped away year over year of systemic barriers for small business owners. And I'm happy to say that it's always been well received, whether we're working with banks to get more equitable access to capital, whether we're working with the SBA to ensure that there's a government focus on small business, whether we're working with cities and municipalities. There is a full understanding of this country. When small business owners succeed, there are more jobs, there's better economic stability. So I will say we are probably in the least controversial industry on the planet. And Hello Alice has really been seen as this neutral super connector, I think, between the small businesses and the systems, financing, and networks they need, which is very cool.
And we tell the entrepreneurs that, you know, in our community all the time, what fierce advocates they have out in the world, right? When we're working with banks, when we're working with enterprise partners, when we're talking to government, you know, entities, it is so true that everybody wants small business to succeed. As consumers, like, we We all love shopping at small businesses. We love knowing that our purchase is going to support a company in our community. And it is, I think it's such a great, you know, we have this incredible opportunity, I think, at Hello Alice, that we get to live our mission, and our mission actually drives our business. And it drives not only our business, it drives the business of our, you know, the enterprise partners that we work with. And so it's, everybody's so aligned, and there's so much energy to do good, because doing good is just good business. And it's, I think it's a unique situation, but one that we're really fortuitous to get to support.
Yeah, I think it's such a great reminder how integral the small business community is in the country. And it's bizarre, the experience y'all are having right now with this lawsuit, which, you know, I'm excited to talk to you about and also very confused by. So what can you tell us about the lawsuit you're fighting from America First Legal? And maybe let's start with the moment you've heard about it.
Sure. So Carolyn and I thought it was spam or not real, or I mean, I don't think in a million years that we ever expected something like this. So it hit us both out of left field. And I think we were just discussing this moment this morning, there's surprise, and then there's fear, and then there's anger. And now on the other side of it, we're emboldened and confident and more, I think, passionate than ever. So it's kind of had a reverse effect than I think they wanted, with both our constituents being emboldened, us as a company. So what is happening is America First Legal, led by Stephen Miller in partnership with Jonathan Mitchell, are suing Hello Alice for our grant programs for Black-owned small business owners, and which we are very proud of. In partnership with Progressive, we've done probably about $40 million in small business grants, $5,000 to $10,000 grants, some as high as $25,000. And it is a critical part of the capital continuum for small business owners. And this attack on our business is not only shocking, but it's terrible for the economy, for all small business owners. And while it's focused on Black-owned businesses, the lawsuits that have happened over the last year trying to stop supplier diversity contracting, small business grants for people of color, have also resulted in it stopping for women, for US veterans. So it is 100% impacting everybody. We maintain that it's frivolous, that everything we do is above board. These are awards, grant awards, which the private sector has every right to do within the bounds of the law. And we're emboldened to keep going.
Yeah. So what now? I mean, I think it's as you mentioned earlier, not expecting this. Where are y'all at in the process now? And do you have this game plan that you have on handling this?
Well, I'll share kind of what we're doing legally. And then, you know, Carolyn, as she does, built something incredible, taking the high road, which she'll share, called Elevate the American Dream. But, you know, we're going to fight this. We maintain that it's frivolous. We think this will be dropped in court. We're very proud to have Neil Katyal, a just incredible litigator, by our side, and most of all, our small business owners by our side. So, you know, Carolyn took the high road here, and you want to share about Elevate the American Dream?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was one, getting in front of the messaging to our community and educating them on, look, you're going to hear about this. Here's what's happening. And our team and our partners and everybody else, which is, you know, a process in and of itself when you have a community as large as we do. But as Elizabeth said, the support was overwhelming in terms of people wanting to reach out and help. And as we started thinking about, okay, what can we ask everybody to do? What is the action for everyone? We realize that if we can come out with a really unified small business voice that is strong, that is pushing back and speaking up for the things that are going to push business forward. Like we said, this is an area that benefits all of us. When these businesses succeed, we all succeed. Our communities succeed. Our country succeeds. And so we pulled together ElevateTheAmericanDream.com, a grants program where we can highlight businesses that are doing great things, that are really living out the American dream and exemplifying what it means to be a small business owner in the United States of America. Regardless of your political party, wherever you stand, this is something that we can all get behind. And really explaining, look, here's the lawsuit. If you have questions, we link to the suit. Everybody can read it, see what it's all about, make a decision on their own. But at the end of the day, we're going to continue fighting the fight that we've always been fighting, which is the fight for equitable access for, you know, to resources for the business owners that we support. And so you can nominate small business owners there. You can nominate yourself as a small business owner. And our goal is to rally 5 million small businesses, which is the number of new small businesses that started in the United States. Last year, I think we're going to surpass that this year, which is incredible. We're the fastest, rate of new business starts that our country has ever seen. And it's only anticipated to continue to grow into next year. And it's important that we show that this is a strong and bipartisan and unified voice.
Natalie, I wanted to share with you why this matters to Houston. So these lawsuits that are happening right now across the country to stop supplier diversity contracting and small business grants and so on are really going to impact, if it goes the wrong direction, the Fortune 500. So it is a critical part of our supply chain to be able to contract with women, people of color, and U.S. veterans. Take Dell Technologies, that's split between Austin and Houston. They spend $3 billion with a B a year on supplier diversity contracting. And it is not net new money. It is money that is spent that really propels inshore jobs for small and medium businesses in America. If you look at the energy sector, they are some of the largest contractors of small and medium businesses for supplier diversity. So it doesn't just impact the small businesses who would lose this money. It absolutely impacts the Fortune 500 who depend on small and medium business for their supply chain, for their services, and so on. So it's important to really understand the implication of these cases. And then finally, unique to Hello Alice, small business grants are a critical part of the economy. If you look at the U.S. veterans, which is a huge population in Houston that we serve, sometimes veterans, and happy Veterans Day to all of you out there, by the way, and thank you, military spouses, for your service. But if you really look at, a lot of veterans don't have credit history because they've been deployed. And when they get back, sometimes it's really hard to get that first loan, that first credit card. So we think grants are a critical part of their ability to grow their business. So really important that, Houston understands what's happening here, as well as that's why Hello Alice, we stand behind our work and we're going to fight this.
Yeah, it's such a good reminder how connected the economy is. It's not just the small business problem when small business grants are attacked like that. This is kind of meta, but I like from y'all talking about this and really kind of taking the opportunity to build something great from a bad situation. You're talking about it in terms of like taking a hold of the narrative and providing the right information, where so much happens these days where people are getting misinformed. How stressful is that? Because I'm fascinated by it, but it just seems like a daunting task to say the right thing, phrase it in the right way, and reach the right people. I don't know if y'all have any opinions on that.
It's
an emotional roller coaster.
I think you heard us both just take a huge breath. We're both like, we've got three PR firms working with us right now. That's how hard it is. And we're a small business helping small business, but it is that important. It is important for folks to understand this. Carolyn made a really important point earlier. This is not a Republican or Democrat thing. Almost 60% of small business owners identify as Republican. We have centrist Republicans absolutely behind us in this fight, and Democrats. Whether you're talking politics, policy, impact. Yeah, it's important. And Carolyn and I have had to stay really tight on this. And with our board, we also need everyone to hear that we're absolutely growing as a viable business. This lawsuit is not impacting our ability to run a great company.
What's interesting, I mean, you know, I think a big fear for us when we did this was, look, we have to sit with the team and we have to explain what's going on. And you don't want to create fear and disruption because the business is operating really well. And so making sure that we're completely transparent and educating our team, and it's an unknown, right? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? This lawsuit could draw out for a very long time. But what was amazing was just, one, how much it rallied our team together and how passionate everybody was behind, look, we absolutely need to fight this fight. We're in this and we'll support however we can as a company, which has been amazing. Our team has stepped up in just such incredible ways. I mean, they've had to answer questions from our small business community. They've had to talk to partners about it. Our whole team has been pulled into having to educate around the lawsuit. And then our small business community, I mean, everybody we talked to, it's just the outpouring of support and the energy that it brings. Honestly, it's fuel, because it is draining. It's expensive. It's time consuming. It's, you know, it's a learning process for us. We've never even had a lawsuit before. And now we're thrown into, you know, what is, you know, could become major litigation. And so there's a lot of very interested, you know, a lot of people are very concerned with the outcome of this suit because it sets precedent for, you know, future discussion. And so it's a learning process. I think we're taking it a day at a time. It's definitely an emotional roller coaster, but it's also, I think it just invigorates us that we are fighting the good fight. And we're going to continue to do it. And that's why we started this company in the first place. And this is another opportunity to put a stake in the ground and say, we're absolutely not going to budge when it comes to equitable access to capital, because it's the right thing to do. So we're here. We're going to keep showing up every day, you know, wherever this lawsuit goes. Elizabeth said, we feel really confident in the outcome and we'll keep fighting.
Absolutely. I think it's also a great reminder. I know a lot of startup founders listen to this podcast, and I'm sure they, you know, are constantly thinking of worst case scenario situations. And just to hear y'all's story and how you're approaching this is probably a really great, you know, message and reminder for them. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. But you did mention, you know, Hello Alice is, the business is not going to be, you know, affected. Y'all are still a growing business. So tell me a little bit about some of the things you see for the future of Hello Alice, lawsuit aside.
I'll say, Natalie, quickly, before we even jump into that, I do want to say the importance, like learning lessons through this, the importance of good investors that are mission aligned. I think we have the most incredible backers behind our company with QED and Harvard and How Women Invest. And so many of our funders, you know, we brought this to them, doubled down and said, how can we open doors? How can we help you all through it? What do you need? That's how we got our lawyer was through a board member, how we got, you know, how we've been able to make a lot of the connections and conversations that we've had have all been through our investors. And so I think it's a critical piece. Like, I can't imagine going through this without the alignment and support of our backers.
And I'll just share a future state. I'm so excited about a product launch that we've had called the Business Health Score. You know, we've always had a hyper focus on equitable access to capital. However, Carolyn will be the first to say, do you know how to manage that capital? How is your cash flow? How are you building your credit? So we've launched a tool last year called the Business Health Score. It's a free tool for any small business owner to come on, answer really only about 10 minutes worth of questions and get a scoring on the financial health of their business. The reason this is critical is we then guide you over 90 days on how to improve that financial health. So you get a weekly email that is making suggestions, maybe on cleaning up your cash flow or thinking about applying for a line of credit, or did you know these grant opportunities are available? So our goal is to really ensure that small business owners are prepared with their business planning and financial health to get them into mainstream capital. So we're thrilled about this. It was Carolyn's vision, and I just think it's super exciting.
And it takes, you know, the work that we've always been doing since we started, but really putting a metric and a measurement and helping owners understand how do they measure up? Where are they strong? Where are they weak? Where do they need to improve? And the reality is over 50% of small businesses are financially unhealthy, which means they can't access the capital they need. There is no, I mean, I talked about needing to meet in the middle earlier on, and this is really the push for those entrepreneurs to get to that middle. These are the pieces that everybody's looking at when they're trying to decide, you know, are you going to get the contract? Are you going to get the loan? Are you able to get the credit card? Are we going to invest in you as venture capitalists? These are the metrics that they're looking at the end of the day. And I think there's always been this idea that, you know, when you think about raising capital, it's like you need to go get a pitch deck and you need to have a great, you know, value proposition and a big vision. But the reality is what they're really looking at is, what do the numbers say? And how does this line up? And what does your company look like? And are we willing to take a bet on you or not? And I think it's a piece that's often overlooked in a lot of the programs that are out there supporting entrepreneurs. So this fills a really critical gap. And we're working with a ton of accelerator programs. We're working with a lot of enterprise, you know, innovation programs. We're working with community organizations, all kinds of people saying, look, help, let us help, you know, augment the great things that you all are doing on the ground, because all of those other pieces are so critical and important as well. But this felt like a real missing gap in the puzzle, and one that's entirely solvable.
I think it's overwhelming as a entrepreneur, small business owner, navigating the resources. And I think everything you just described and Hello Alice's mission of consolidating that, it's just truly, you know, a feat. Like I don't own a business, but this is wild. I feel like I know where to start if I ever start one. So one of the things I love talking about on the podcast, and I'm especially excited to discuss with y'all, is your observations on the Houston innovation ecosystem. I think y'all bring a unique perspective being bi-coastal, and also 10 years you've been around a major part of the Houston innovation ecosystem. So I guess to start, we'll start with you, Carolyn, since you're based here. What are some observations you've had, or maybe some big, you know, major moments in Houston's innovation ecosystem? And what's Hello Alice's role in that too?
I mean, one, I'll just say it's amazing to see how much it's evolved. I think about starting my first business in Houston, and there was nothing. I mean, there were so few places to go to even know how to navigate and to get connected with people. I mean, there weren't co-working spaces, there weren't accelerators. I'm going to date myself just to show how long ago that was. But there was like the, you know, these organic kind of groups that I think people sort of formed together, but it was really, really difficult to navigate from the outside. And it wasn't, frankly, until I was deep into my first business that I even discovered them. And to see how that's evolved and grown, and the ability to navigate, and the connectivity between, you know, a lot of the organizations, a lot of it, I think, thanks, Natalie, to the work that you're doing, just getting these stories out and telling the stories of what's happening in the ecosystem is incredible. But I also think just the scale to which Houston thinks. I feel like we've always been this kind of city of moonshots, and we're only seeing that continue to increase. It's like companies are getting the traction that they're looking for. There are more and more investors. I mean, I love when I'm talking to investors in other cities and they're like, oh, I have a portfolio company in Houston. You never used to hear that before. And so it's exciting just to see the traction and growth. And I think that only fuels itself, right? There are now people who have worked at startups, and it's this incredible kind of jobs community that fuels more and more entrepreneurs. And I think you all have all the great stats with all the reports and things of what's going on in the city, but it's incredible to see. And I think what we've seen on the Hello Alice side is similar. I mean, with the small businesses that we're working with, they're thinking bigger, and the exposure that they have to these, you know, highly scalable venture-backed businesses makes a massive difference, because it just helps everybody to think bigger, to connect these disconnected dots, to share resources. It attracts more resources to the city. So I feel like we're I don't want to say we're just getting started, because I feel like we're in it now. I feel like there was this period of just getting started, and we're deeply in it now. And I feel like the next 10 years are going to be incredible to see.
Yeah, I think it's, you mentioned that you didn't used to hear VCs talking about having a Houston portfolio. Now I feel like we're hearing like non-Houston VCs just talking about how they want a Houston company in their portfolio. Like they're making that move. And so, yeah, the future is more of that. Elizabeth, from your perspective, which, you know, you have this connection to Houston, but you're based in what more people consider a more innovative coast. But how have you seen Houston, and especially in that parallel of California, growing?
Well, first, I'm so proud to be from Houston. And so my roots are there. And I will tell you, the first thing I tell anyone in California that shocks them is that Houston is the most ethnically diverse city in the United States. And I think that is a really important key to why I think a lot of innovation is happening in Houston. Is you have diversity of thought, of industry. You've got every representation from every country on the planet. And with that, I think brings a lot of new companies, new innovation. And I think Houston used to be really thought of as energy and biomed. And now, you know, you have companies of every industry popping up. So that's something I like to say to folks. And the other thing I'll just say is, I think it's very unwise for anyone to think that they need to only invest in their zip code, because great ideas come from everywhere. And I think Texas really embodies the ability to build strong ecosystems. If you look at San Antonio now too, I mean, San Antonio is popping up with a great ecosystem. Austin kind of led the way, I think, of all the cities. Dallas used to be thought of as very corporate, and now, you know, look what's happening there. So I think it's a really exciting time for Texas, but, you know, us being, having launched an HQ in Houston, I couldn't be prouder. And I think that we will continue to always have our roots there. And we love our employees. You know, they're all over the country, but the largest cluster are in Houston, and we're really proud of that.
Yeah, good. Well, we're not letting you leave. So good to hear that you don't want to. Thank you both so much for joining me. It was so great catching up and hearing about what you're going through, and the approach you have, I think, is going to be inspiring to a lot of listeners. It was inspiring to me. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing that.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.